grace, mercy, and peace. These blessings and so many more are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from Genesis chapter 22, our Old Testament lesson. Dear fellow children of God, if God would offer me a way to be dropped into any of the pages of Scripture, there are a couple of chapters that for me would be at the top of my list. One would be to be in the fields outside of Bethlehem in Luke chapter 2 to see that host of angels appear, announce the birth of the Savior, of my Savior, and then hasten to Bethlehem to find that baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And the second one, then you might guess, the second one would be at that first Easter morning with Peter and John to hear the angel say, "He's not here, he's risen." Perhaps later on the road to Emmaus, and then afterwards saying with those disciples, "My heart was burning within me." But there are also some chapters in the Bible of which I'd really want no part as a first-hand witness. One would be on Good Friday, to stand at the foot of the cross and to see the Son of God hanging on that cross in all of his bloody agony, to realize that it was my sins that put him there, to hear him offer a prayer to his Father, a Father who ignored him so that he would never ignore me. I'm afraid that would be more than I would really want to witness. And the other chapter that I don't think I'd want part of is our text this morning from Genesis chapter 22. To be by Abraham's side on this three-day journey, this three-day test, and all of the emotions that it had to run through Abraham is something that I'm not sure that I could handle. Our theme this morning is welcome God's tests. Don't dread them, but welcome them. Welcome God's tests because, first of all, in love, God tests his children. In love. We're told in Genesis 22, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." Abraham replied, "Here I am." You realize this wasn't the first test for Abraham. God tested him when he said, "Leave your home and family and move to a country far away." God tested him when he said, "I'm going to make of you a great nation. You will have a son." And eventually, Abraham was so old and there was still no son on the horizon. Abraham failed one of God's tests when Abraham decided to take things in his own hands and father a child with Sarah's maid, Hagar. But all of those tests paled in comparison to the test in front of us in Genesis 22. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you." What a test. And unlike every single test that I have given in my teaching ministry, this test was for a completely different purpose. When I test my students, it's to find out what they know so that I can assess their knowledge. This test of Abraham, God knew the level of Abraham's faith. God knew the outcome of the test. This test was for Abraham's sake. I also have never given a test without announcing the test, and this will be a test. We know that God was testing Abraham because we're told in Genesis 22. Remember, Abraham didn't have that script in front of him. He didn't realize it was only a test. All he knew was what God had said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac." Why would God emphasize the only son? Abraham knew it was his only son of the promise. Abraham realized it was from this son that would come the line of the Savior. But God was reminding him exactly how severe this test was going to be. He wanted to leave no doubt in Abraham's mind. What am I asking of you, Abraham? I am asking that you would sacrifice your only son, the son whom you love. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. What a test. We read on. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded the donkey. He took with him two of his servants, his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. Early the next morning. Think of Abraham's night. Think of how little sleep he must have had. All of the tossing and turning, and no doubt at least a few conversations with God, asking God, God, what is this that you want me to do? God, are you sure this is what you want me to do? And probably how few conversations he had with his wife, Sarah, because how do you tell your wife that the next morning you're going to take her son, her only son of the promise, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering? When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, can you imagine a more horrific or appalling task? To cut the wood that you're going to lay your son on and sacrifice him? And then he set out for the place God had told him about. Here's one of the many times where I'm afraid I might have failed that test. Because I think that maybe while I wouldn't have slept that night, that the first thing in the morning I would do would not be cut my son's deathbed. I also know that I tend to procrastinate, and I think that I wouldn't have been in such a hurry to leave for Mount Moriah, and that as I set out for Mount Moriah, I probably would have tried to take a roundabout way, hoping that there would be some detour that would prevent me from this awful, awful command of God. What does Abraham do? He sets out for the place God had told him about. He passes this part of the test. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. On the third day, it's verse 4 of our text that convinces me that this is not where I want to be dropped in the pages of Scripture. That's not claiming that I would have passed verse 3 with flying colors, getting up early in the morning, cutting that wood, and setting out for Mount Moriah. But a three-day journey, can you imagine the ache in Abraham's heart and the pit in his stomach? And no doubt Isaac, like many children, would have said, Dad, how much longer? How long till we're there? Can you imagine Abraham, each of those evenings before they reach Mount Moriah, kissing his son Isaac goodnight and realizing it's one less day before I raise a knife to kill my son? Can you imagine a three-day journey that was part of the test? Because you see, what God could have done is said, Abraham, I'd like you to go make this burnt offering sacrifice on the top of a mountain. Take Isaac along because this will be a good father-son bonding trip. And then after the 3 days, when they get to Mount Moriah, God could have said, Abraham, here's what's really going to happen. But God told Abraham about the test 3 days before he was to carry it out. So that three-day journey was part of the test. Abraham says to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. When Abraham looked up and saw Mount Moriah, that must have filled him with dread. If I was Abraham, I would have been praying on that third day that the sun would not rise. But it did rise, and then there is that mountain. And then what words of faith on Abraham's part when he says, we will worship, and then we will come back to you. Not I will come back to you. Not I will come back to you with the body of my dead son strapped in the back of a donkey. But we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So he carries the knife with which he'll slay his son in one hand, the fire with which he'll burn his son in the other hand. Can you imagine how heavy his hands must have been? And then he puts the wood for the offering on the back of Isaac, and his hands had to be trembling. And then as the two of them walk along, it's Isaac who breaks the silence. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Isaac's question had to crush the heart of his father. Abraham's answer? His answer was based certainly on faith and also on love. Protective love for his son Isaac and love for the God who had given him this command. Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. Understand that when Abraham said, "God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering," Abraham wasn't speaking with omniscience, knowing that at the top of that mountain there would be a ram caught in a thicket. These weren't the words of omniscience. They were the words of faith. Because all Abraham knew is what God had commanded him, but more importantly, what God had long before that promised him. Abraham knew that that son that he would lay on an altar is the son that God had promised would be the ancestor of God's son, the son that would save Abraham, save Isaac, and save the world. And he knew there was no way that that promise would be kept if he returned with a dead son. So, what do we learn from this? God often tests us just as he tested Abraham. And just like Abraham's test, ours often come with multiple parts, and they often come over a period of time. The question that I too often dwell on is, I don't think I could have passed this test. But God tests each of us in unique ways, according to our faith, according to our station in life, and always, always according to God's promises. Welcome God's tests, because in love God tests his children, and more importantly, by God's grace, God's children pass the test. When they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Martin Luther, in his commentary on Genesis, says that why did Abraham bind Isaac? It wasn't to keep him from struggling, because Isaac was much younger and stronger than a man who was well over 100 years old. Isaac could have fought Abraham. Isaac could have fled. Why does he bind Isaac? Because that's what you do with a burnt offering. One more example of Abraham following God's directions. Then he reached out his son, reached out his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. This is the ultimate test. And we shouldn't imagine that maybe he held that knife above his son, waiting and waiting and waiting for a ram to appear and God to intervene. In faith, he was ready to carry out the command that God had given him. But then the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Just appreciate, this is not just an ordinary angel. This is the angel of the Lord. This is the second person of the Trinity speaking to Abraham, saying, "Now I know, you know, that you love me more than you love your son Isaac." There are three common reactions when people study this story. One, what great faith Abraham must have had. Two, I could never do that. And three, a bit of a question for God. How could God make such a cruel request? What great faith? Well, that is obvious, is it not? I could never do that. And how could God make such a cruel request? Why could God ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac? And why did Abraham have the faith to carry out that request? Because of what God had promised Abraham, that from that son would come the line of the Savior. That was God's promise long before the test, and that's the promise that Abraham fell back on that three-day journey, on that climb up that mountain, as he built that altar, as he laid his son on that altar, and as he raised a knife to that son. That is why he could say to the servants, "We will return." Now you might say, well, that's just giving Abraham a whole lot of credit. Maybe that was wishful thinking. There's another chapter to this story, a chapter that was written 2,000 years later in Hebrews. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. That's why Abraham passed the test. And how does that apply to us 4,000 years later? Abraham offering Isaac was a defining moment in Abraham's life. But appreciate this. Abraham offering Isaac was a defining moment in his life, but this event did not define Abraham's faith. There's a huge difference. God's promises shaped and defined Abraham's faith. Abraham realized he never deserved to have this son. He never deserved all of the blessings that God gave him. He didn't deserve to return back down that mountain with a spring in his step and joy in his heart and his arm around Isaac. He didn't return to go back home and say, "Honey, we're back." But God's promises to Abraham are what gave him the faith to realize even if he didn't deserve those blessings, God was going to give him those blessings because that was God's promise. So what is your Mount Moriah? Is it not every challenge that God places in front of you? Challenges that take all sorts of shapes and forms, again, according to your own unique situation and according to your faith. You find your own Mount Moriah in a doctor's office, at a nursing home with an aged grandparent or parent. You find your Mount Moriah in a difficult conversation with an employer or employee or a coworker, around a kitchen table where there is less than perfect harmony. The challenge is, and your Mount Moriah is, you find when you face a decision about life support for someone that you love, or a life-changing decision that God has placed in front of you. But remember that those challenges do not shape your faith, but like Abraham, God's promises shape your faith. Because no matter how large your Mount Moriah, it will never be bigger than Mount Calvary. Because you see, long before Abraham stood at the top of Mount Moriah with a knife in his hand looking down at his son, God, before the creation of the world, looked down at a different mountain, Mount Calvary, and knew that he would raise his hand in divine anger against his son, his only son, and there would be no substitute ram caught in the thicket, but only his son. And then on that God-forsaken mountain, that his son would keep God's promise. That's the promise that defines and shapes your faith and my faith, so that you realize that every time you stumble walking up your Mount Moriah, you have a Savior, a perfect Savior, who fulfilled all of his promises on Mount Calvary. By God's grace, his promises define your faith. And God's promises are always certain in Jesus. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.